Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Rates and Lanes with Rico Mohammed. This is the show where we improve your knowledge of the freight market, improve your bottom line, and improve the transportation industry as a whole. We're talking Rates and Lanes. Let's move on down the audio road.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Rico Mohammed coming to you live out of the city of Jacksonville, Florida tonight. We'd like to thank everyone for taking time out of your busy schedule to join us tonight. We look forward to got an action-packed show. Hopefully, we're looking forward. Chuck Snow should be joining us here in just a few minutes. Chuck, if you're on the line, press number one so we can get you screened in and get you logged in. But tonight, we're going to start off as we normally do here on the Rates and Lanes podcast, and we're going to jump directly over into the USDA fruit and vegetable report for this week. And this week's report is running a little bit behind. They hadn't quite published the one that should be out right now, so this one's a little bit old, but we can still use it as a point of reference because some of the information that is on here from the research that I've been doing is still pretty accurate. Not much changes anyway. Right now, there is an extreme shortage in eastern North Carolina for reefer trucks. Eastern North Carolina, there's a lot of shipping going on right now. There's a lot of harvesting and produce coming out of the fields between watermelons, sweet potatoes, and a few various other things. There's some blueberries and some other things that are coming off from up in that area. But right now, there's an extreme shortage. They need reefer trucks in that area right now. Site shortages are going on right now in Central and South Florida, Charleston, Beaufort District, South Carolina, and West District, Florida. Now, these, the three places that I just listed off that's coming off this USDA report, I advise you go in with a little bit of caution into those areas. They could be drying up as we speak coming out of those areas. The other areas that you want to be of note that you want to be careful of, there are slight surpluses in these areas: the Mexico crossing through Nogales, Arizona, San Luis Valley, Colorado, and Central Wisconsin. There are all of those territories and cities that I just listed off there, they have slight surpluses in those areas. And the other areas that have outright surpluses, there is still a, even though they may have some surpluses in there, I think that there's enough freight coming out of there right now from the stuff that I've been hearing. If anybody has heard anything different, I haven't been down there myself to actually put my toe in the water to know for sure, but lower Rio Grande Valley and Mexico crossing through Texas, both of those areas, that's Laredo and the El Paso areas coming out of Texas right there. I think that they, even though they're showing on the USDA report that there are surpluses in those areas, I think, have enough produce and stuff coming out of Mexico right now. It's been kind of in flux to kind of support the truck traffic that is down in those areas. So with that said, let's jump over it, and we're going to jump right into this week's DAT Trendlines report. And for the week of June 19th through the 25th, the national average rates held steady for vans, reefers, and flatbeds last week. An increase in the load-to-truck ratio for vans and reefers indicates that the rates could rise this week. However, as the second quarter ends and the holiday weekend begins, it's kind of still up in the air. I believe that the rates are definitely going to be going up, especially going into a holiday weekend. So if you're working the spot market this week, today, tomorrow, and all through the weekend and the first part of next week, I think that you will be doing yourself a disservice by giving any kind of discounts unless it's just, you know, hopefully you know your situation, but I think that you can get pretty good rates over the next couple of days. So without any further ado, let's jump over into the national van and demand capacity portion of the DAT trend lines report. Load-to-truck ratio rises by 3% through June 19th through the 25th. The load-to-truck ratio rose 3% for vans last week, signaling seasonal strength at the end of the second quarter. The ratio increased from 2.7 up to 2.8 loads per truck, the second highest level for the year to date. The national average van rate was unchanged week over week. Fuel prices, actually, for the national average fuel price remained unchanged as well. The national average diesel price sitting steady at $2.43 per gallon right now on the national average. Let's look and see how U.S. van rates were performing for the week of June 19th through the 25th. And the national average spot market rate for vans were unchanged compared to the previous week, holding steady at $1.61 per mile. Outbound rates rose in Los Angeles, Memphis, and Buffalo. Taking a look around the country to get some averages, starting off up in the northeastern portion of the United States, we have Philadelphia, Pennsylvania checking in, showing an average rate on the spot market for dry vans at $1.56 per mile. We have Atlanta, Georgia kicking in, showing an average rate coming out of Atlanta on the spot market for dry vans at $1.94 per mile. Coming in out of the Midwestern portion of the United States, Chicago, Illinois shows average rates out of that city at $1.85 per mile. Moving down into the South Central portion of the United States, Dallas, Texas checks in, showing average rates at $1.57 per mile. And moving out to the West Coast, blazing the way forward. Rates coming out of Los Angeles showing $2.21 per mile on the spot market for dry vans coming out of Los Angeles. That's very good coming out of the West Coast right there. And I'm imagining that, especially why those rates are so well out that way, because of all of the produce action that is going on out there in that area as well. So like I said before on the previous show, once, especially during these times of the year, when things are kind of balanced out, when you got reefers pulling primarily reefer freight, you're going to see an actual bump, should see a bump in your dry van rates because you have less competition when reefers are pulling actual reefer freight and not just using it as a dry van. So you, it actually helps out the dry van portion of segment of the industry by helping the rates go up on the spot market. Moving over into flatbed, the flatbed demand and capacity report for the week of the 19th through the 25th. Flatbed load postings decreased by 7% and capacity decreased 4% last week. That caused the load-to-truck ratio to dip 3%, down to 17.6 loads per truck. The national average flatbed rate was unchanged compared to the previous week. And we're going to jump over and see how flatbed rates were performing over the previous week. Flatbed rates held steady at $1.95 per mile as a national average last week. Rates were up in Fort Worth, Savannah, and Los Angeles. Taking a look around the country, leading the way out of the northeastern portion of the United States, we have Harrisburg checking in, showing average rates coming out of there at $3.01 per mile for flatbed on the spot market. Moving down into the southeastern portion of the United States, Atlanta, Georgia checks in, showing flatbed spot market rates at $2.22 per mile. Moving into the Midwest, we have Rock Island, Illinois checking in, showing average rates of $2.37 per mile for flatbeds. Down in the south central portion of the United States, Houston, Texas checks in, showing average rates at $2.03 per mile. And moving over to the west coast, coming out of Phoenix, Arizona, spot market rates showing for flatbeds at $1.85 per mile. Jumping on over into the reefer demand and capacity report for the week of June 19th through the 25th. Reefer load postings decreased 1%, and truck postings decreased 9% last week. That pushed the load-to-truck ratio up 9% from 5.3 to 5.8 loads per truck. The national average spot market rate for reefers were unchanged compared to the previous week. So let's take a look and see how the rates were performing overall on the spot market for reefers for the week of the 19th through the 25th. Reefer rates held steady at $1.96 per mile last week, unchanged from the previous week, and a 9% increase in the load-to-truck ratio signaled that rates were likely to rise this week due to the end of the quarter and pre-holiday demand. Coming out of the northeastern portion of the United States, Elizabeth, New Jersey checks in, showing average spot market rate for reefers at $1.52 per mile. Down into the southeastern portion of the United States, we have Lakeland, Florida checking in, showing average rate at $1.62 per mile for reefers. Moving up into the midwestern portion of the United States, Green Bay, Wisconsin checking in, showing average spot market rates at $2.43 per mile. And as usual, that's the high water mark coming out of Green Bay, Wisconsin. Down into the Rio Grande, McAllen, Texas, the south central portion of the United States, showing average rates for reefers at $1.85 per mile on the spot market. And moving out west, Fresno, California checks in, showing average reefer rates at $2.20 per mile coming out of the west coast portion of the United States. So we've checked off the USDA demand report, fruit and vegetable report. We've checked off the DAT report. Let's jump into this week's bad and ugly broker report list. We missed out last week. We didn't have a podcast last week. My apologies on that. We're trying to see if we can try to do some pre-recordings if we're unable, if schedule conflicts don't allow us to actually do the shows. We're still working on trying to work that out because we want to be able to try to bring this show to you on a consistent basis week in and week out. So we're working to try to work out the kinks to actually make that a reality. But with no further ado, the bad broker report. Let's see. We have Tri-Gain Logistics, LLC, and Olith Trucking, LLC. MC number is 272-223. Tri-Gain Logistics out of Limon, Colorado, has $27,000 in unpaid carrier invoices reported to truckstop.com. They have a new bond that went active on 9/1/15, and their authority was reinstated on 9/3/15. Extreme risk. Carriers beware. All Freight Logistics, the next one on the list is All Freight Logistics, Inc. MC number is 458-220. Over $9,000 in non-payment complaints reported to truckstop.com. JBJR Logistics, LLC is next up on the list. MC number 940-932. FMCSA shows that the trust fund was canceled on 6/16. Over $22,000 in non-payment complaints reported to truckstop.com. Extreme risk. And I just made a fool, ladies and gentlemen. I got a recording in my message. I didn't set the timing properly for the show, so everything that you're about to hear will not be recorded. So unfortunately, the downloads, we're still going to do the show for an hour, but we didn't set the timing right on the show in a rush when we did it, and we only set it up for 15 minutes. But no big deal, because we still got Chuck Snow coming on board. And we're going to go ahead and hang out with you guys for an hour and do the show. So if you're here live, you're going to get some exclusive material. Transfreight United, going back into the bad broker report, Transfreight United LLC, MC number is 946-226. Trust fund is set to cancel 5/4/16, over $66,000 in non-payment complaints reported to truckstop.com. Extreme risk is reported. So as you know, if you've been listening to the show for any time period, these are some of the things that we advise you to do that you should be doing. If you have your own authority and you're booking your freight, especially on the spot market, these are some of the things that you want to make sure that you're vetting your brokers. Don't just accept just because they call you and you work out a great rate and everything else. Sometimes that great rate is setting you up for the kill because they know they're not going to pay you anyway. So make sure that you're doing your due diligence, that you are running your business like a business and not a hobby, to protect yourself and insulate yourself from being a victim of one of these bad brokers. And with that said, ladies and gentlemen, no further ado, let's go and bring on, I call him our resident mentor. Let's get Mr. Chuck Snow up and on board with us. Chuck Snow, how are you doing, sir?
We're doing well. How you doing, Rico?
I really can't complain. We woke up on the right side of the dirt, so I'm happy to still be among the living.
That's a great way of looking at it.
So, Chuck, it's been a little while since we touched bases. Anything new that you guys got going on over at Traffics?
Well, we're opening up a new office in downtown Toronto, a new sales office. That's been keeping us pretty busy. We've been busy hiring some new talent. Things are going well. We've been very, very busy. Touch wood, it's nice to see. Everything is moving along nicely. Freight is moving. Loads are coming in. It's just the way it should be. We're getting rewarded for all of our hard work. In our businesses, we go out and we look for customers, and it takes a lot of work, and then you get those customers, and then those customers get to know you, trust you, and love you, and they give you more and more work, and that's how you do it. And we've been doing it for a long time, and the game gets tighter because people are asking for more and more besides for moving the freight from point A to point B. They want reporting. It's not as easy as it used to be. It's like they want up to the second reporting of where their freight is, even though a lot of our work, not all of it, but a lot of our work is cross-border, and we can't do anything until that customer's custom broker does his thing and gets the load cleared. So it's kind of frustrating. We're kind of the monkey in the middle quite often. And the customer's saying, well, what's going on? Why aren't you moving on this load? We can't get across the border until your broker does his work. So that's some of the frustrations that we come across. But overall, we've had it's been a great year. Our year end is actually tomorrow is our year end, June 30th. And it's been a really good year. All the hard work that our team has done has paid off. We've done a lot of right things. We've had some painful things, too. We've had to, in the last year, we've had to shut down our Alberta office, which hurts, but we kept some of the trucks and drivers, which was a bonus. They're good people. So it's been, altogether, it's been a great year. And things up in Canada, we're not setting the world on fire up here. Our economy is, it's tough. There's a lack of outbound freight in Canada in general because the cost of manufacturing is so high. And we've spoken about that before. And I talk to some of my American friends and associates down there. And I'm always amazed at the wonderful playground you people have there to work within because you can move all over your country. And we're so restricted as compared to how you people operate. It's as different as night and day.
Well, some of the stuff that you touched on, Chuck, I'm like, man, has Chuck been in my brain or something? He's reading my mail or something because I wanted to kind of touch on a few of these different topics. And for those that don't know, I know that sometimes we may be gaining new listeners, and we definitely appreciate that. And for all the listeners that we do have, if you don't mind, do us a real big favor. Share the podcast. We want to try to grow this thing, and we want to try to get better, and we want to try to bring better content and better information. So share the podcast. Let us know what it is that we can help you with, some things that you're struggling with in your business so we can try to help you grow. Give us some different tips, different tactics, some things that you would like to know more about so we can start the process of researching it to try to bring that information to you. This is the platform to try to help. We want to try to help make the industry a better place. And to do that, we need feedback and information from you guys that are out there on the pavement doing this thing day in and day out. Chris, I see your question. We're coming to you in just a second. So I just wanted to share that little tidbit. And I wanted to talk about Chuck real quick for people that are new, that are coming in, that may be their first, second time, may not have even heard Chuck before. Chuck brings a unique perspective to our show, and that's why we call him our resident mentor. He can kind of speak to a lot of things from both the brokering aspect and the asset-based carrier aspect, because he has both. He has a small fleet, Traffix. He is the CEO and owner of Traffix out of Canada. They, like I said, they're small. It's a fleet of trucks. He has an asset-based fleet of trucks, and he also has the oldest, Traffix is the oldest brokerage in Canada. But he also, by being a broker, he's also brokering here freight here in the United States. Like I said before, I've actually pulled a couple of loads from Chuck. He didn't actually even know about it at the time, but we pulled some stuff from Chuck. Got a really great rate out of the guys up there, and they were a pleasure to do business with. So, Chuck, did I miss anything?
I think you said it beautifully, your bio there. Well, thank you. And, you know, you're right. People do need to ask better questions. You know, Rico and I can help anybody and everybody out there. If you come to us with your questions, there's no question that's too silly. You know, and it's usually things that, you know, you're going to make a mistake that you don't have to make if you ask somebody. And we can, you know, between Rico and myself and the resources we have, we can usually prevent you from making that costly error. And I can tell you there's not enough money in this game to make a lot of mistakes anymore. Numbers are fine. They're very, very fine pointed. And you need to know your game. You need to know your numbers. And you need to know your business. And I find that's probably the biggest challenge that I have in what I do is dealing with carriers, especially new carriers that and old ones alike, that obviously don't know their numbers, because I see people making mistakes, and I get the pleasure sometimes of having somebody ask me, and I get to prevent them from making the mistake, and that's a win-win. I had a former owner-operator come in last week to talk to me because he had this great business idea. And I said to him, well, you know, first of all, I asked him if he listened to any of these podcasts, and I asked him if he listened to the satellite radio, and he didn't. And I gave him shit, and I said, you know, before you do anything, why don't you go spend $100 and put a satellite radio in your truck and start listening to, you know, to Road Dog, and start listening to Kevin's show and some of the other shows, and start educating yourself. That's number one. And I said, number two, you need a proper business plan, because what he was going to do was go out and buy $270,000, and that's Canadian funds. They were just over $170,000 for two tractors, and he was going to buy two used reefers, and he was going to start running California, which is, you know, in your country, that's not impossible. From my country, it's very easy to get loads out of California. The challenge is getting to California, and that's what I said to him. You know, we went into this large discussion, and he walked out of my boardroom with a totally different perspective. And I preached to him what you and I preach on this show. Don't go for the low-hanging fruit. Go and do something that's different. Do something that's hard. You know, instead of a $170,000 truck, go buy a $30,000 or $40,000 or $50,000 truck, and, you know, if you're going to put a driver in it, and go to places nobody else wants to go, do things nobody else wants to do. Pay your drivers more, and you don't have to worry about trying to get loads to California. And I think he's going to do that. And I think those are the sorts of things that are going to differentiate the winners from the losers in the future. Because don't try to do what everybody else is doing, and they're failing at it. And there's, there's a huge difference between our country and your country in the fact that, you know, if you're in Atlanta, you can usually get a load somewhere within a 200-mile radius to get you to California. You don't have that luxury up here in Canada. So a lot of times guys are running for 80 cents a mile Canadian, which is about 65 cents a mile U.S. to get to California. Well, you have to have one hell of a good-paying payload coming back in order to augment that cost.
Absolutely, absolutely. And with no further ado, we got a caller that's got a question. Chris has a question for us, Chuck. So let's see if we can get Chris up and on board with us. And if you have a question, you can go ahead and press the number one that puts you in the queue, and we'll come to you and try to get your question as well. So, Chris, now's your chance. You're up on live with Rico and Chuck. How can we help?
Hey, thanks for taking my call, Rico.
Thank you, Chris.
Hello? Okay.
Yes, sir. We're here.
This is a little maybe off topic, but I'm a relatively new carrier, and typically when I say I'm going to do something, I always do it. Not typically, it's something I always do. And I booked a load. I called on a load coming back from Nebraska back to the Midwest, and the rate was lower than I could accept, and I told the broker I thought we were too far apart, and thanks anyway. And she asked me, well, what do you need? And I told her my price was about 33% higher than what she wanted to offer. And she said, well, let me see if I can do that, and I'll call you back. And about 20 minutes later, she called me back and said, okay, the customer approved it, and we'll send the rate confirmation over, and you're good to go. So they sent me a rate confirmation, but all it had was the pickup city and the delivery city and the time. I signed it. I sent it back. And then I said, what about the details for the load? And she said, well, we can't dispatch you until your truck is empty. And I said, well, I hate to wait for a day and a half, 2 days, kind of the uncertainty here. You know, what happens if the load cancels? Are you going to say, you weren't dispatched, so there's no truck order not used? Or are they going to shop me in the meantime? I really don't want to get stuck out in Nebraska over the 4th of July, but I'm kind of thinking if I wait until the last minute anyway, I might find a better rate. I just don't know. Is it advisable to keep looking, or should I just kind of wait and see how it plays out?
You know, Chris, I got to tell you, you're screwed either way, because the broker can always say to you, I'm sorry, we don't have the load, and you have held out, and now you have nothing to get back to reposition yourself.
Right.
And,
okay.
And that could happen easily. I don't like the sound of any of this. Now, I certainly understand where the broker's coming from, because there's always that chance of you not getting empty, something happening, and then there. But they should, if they're a reputable broker, have you dealt with them before or not?
The broker's TQL, and this is probably like my fifth or sixth load I've ever done for them. Usually their rates aren't where I need them to be, but I've heard this about these guys, so that's why I'm even more concerned.
Well,
unfortunately, I'll speak to a little bit of it, Chuck. Unfortunately, with TQL, you definitely have to approach it with real caution, because unfortunately TQL have very few, not all of them. I don't want to paint them with a broad brush, but the majority of people over at TQL are newer people, fresh out of college, and they don't necessarily have they're not in the relationship building business. I think that's probably the best politically correct way for me to say that. They're not really in the relationship building. It's more of a true transactional broker. Now, only time I would advise you to do something like what you kind of put yourself into a situation with is if you're dealing with a broker that has an established relationship with, and even if something was to fall through on the load, that they still would try to move heaven and earth to make sure that they did something to put something on your truck, so that you're not in a precarious situation if you're dependent on that load to get back to where you need to get back to or to do something else. Anything that I missed, Chuck?
You're right.
Want to add to that?
Chris, you know what I would do maybe? If you're going in the middle of what I refer to as nosebleed Nebraska, in the middle of, way the hell in the middle of the state, so you're not going to have enough time to get yourself into, no offense to anybody from Nebraska because I love your state, but you're not going to have the time to get back into civilization like Omaha or something where you're going to get a load. what I may do is make a couple more phone calls to the same broker to just make sure, hey, you're holding that load for me, right? Because I'm depending on you. The load's still there, right, George, or whatever her his name is? And given the 4th of July weekend, given the fact that you're probably going in the middle of nowhere in Nebraska, are you running the dry van or reefer?
I'm doing a dry van, but I am actually delivering pretty close to Omaha.
Well, if you're delivering close to Omaha, you're not in a bad freight area. There are loads coming out of that area. You know, you're only, 130 miles from Kansas City. Where are you trying to reposition yourself back to, Chris?
Well, I was actually just trying to get home northwest Indiana for the, for the holiday. I picked up a load going to Columbus, Ohio, but delivers on Tuesday, but I can, I'll be home on Friday if it all works out.
Oh, okay. Well, is that where TQL's load's taking you to Columbus, Ohio?
Yeah, it's Columbus.
Well, that's great for you. Get you home and then get you into Columbus for Tuesday. I would, given the holiday and everything, I would just call them again or call them a couple times. Are you unloading early? When are you unloading, tomorrow morning?
Yeah, I've got two stops tomorrow, one first thing in the morning in Kansas, and then straight up to Omaha after that.
And
Omaha
what time
area.
Do you expect to be empty in Omaha?
Around 1 or 2 o'clock.
You're playing with fire, kid, and I understand the broker.
Maybe sooner.
Well, you really want to because you're playing with fire because, I know these shippers, they want to get out of there as early as possible, and some of the bosses get generous because it's going to be a long weekend. And, you're in a real rough shape. So hopefully there's a second shift or something at this plant. And they're not going to go home right at 3 o'clock or something.
I told her from the start that conservatively, count on me being there by 3:30. They said it's first come, first serve, 7 a.m. to 11 p.m.
Oh, you're okay.
Yeah.
Oh, you're fine. So what
I'm just more worried about the fact that, they came up 33%, and I'm afraid that they're going to spend, the time shopping me, see if they can't find something better. And I wouldn't worry
a whole lot about that because one of the things that I think, I could be wrong, but one of the things that I think that you do have in your favor is that it is going into a weekend, and you may be the only person in that area that is even willing to go in that direction. You may have that in your favor, so you may be the only truck that they could find, and especially if they were willing to come up by that much of a by that much in the rate. And because it's going into that holiday weekend, that's something that we talked about earlier on the during the DAT trend line report. On into this holiday weekend, rates are going to go up, and shippers understand that, brokers understand that. Unfortunately, some of the carriers don't understand that.
Well, for those of us that play the spot market rate, the whole spot market game, you plays the game, you take your chances, as they used to say. And you win and you lose. Overall, I think everybody wins from it. And if you've got one of the few trucks in Omaha that's willing to go into Columbus, Ohio, then you're the winner. And there's nothing wrong with that.
Okay. Fair enough.
Right.
And I don't think they're gonna.
You said that you were a newer carrier, and one thing that I try to, I try to give a little bit of inspiration out there. Never take a situation as a lose, or it's either you win or you learn. You don't necessarily lose. So it's something an experience that you can grow from, that you can learn from, and say, okay, I can do this differently next time around. So kind of look at it with that aspect. If hopefully. We're going to keep our fingers crossed for you, and hopefully everything goes off without a hitch and you get your load and everything works out smooth. Like I said, TQL, they are trying. I've heard them making efforts to try to get better and weed some of the people out that they were having problems with. I haven't done a whole lot of work with TQL over the past year. I've done some stuff, but not a whole lot. So that's one of the things that, you know, hopefully, you know, some of the reports and things that I've been hearing that they've been getting a little bit better. But, you know, you still have your people that are going to kind of throw TQL under the bus because they are one of the larger 3PL companies out there. And when you're that big, sometimes you don't have to have the you don't have to be the most respectable or the most run a rough shot over the small guy.
Yeah, I don't know how, you know, I've only dealt with them a few times with our fleet. The one thing I can say is they paid their bills, which is a hell of a lot more than the guys you talked about at the beginning of the show that didn't pay their bills.
Absolutely, absolutely. So, Chris, I put you on hold for a second because we had a lot of background noise going there, but is there anything else you want to ask before we get up out of here?
Yeah, no, I appreciate that. I guess I was just my question is, if I called her in the morning and kind of pushed her a little bit for that Raycon or that, you know, the driver information sheet, and if she didn't send it to me, I mean, am I fair enough to say, hey, I'm kind of concerned that, you know, this might not go and I'll be sitting here in the middle of nowhere. I got to get myself covered home and start at least like looking for a backup or.
Well, you know what? I would just ask her, listen, is this load 100%? I need you just to be honest with me.
Okay.
Just, are we cool on this? And if she says yes, then you got to take her for her word. You know, we're still in the business of trust, Chris.
Okay. Yeah, like I say, in 8 months, this is like my fifth load, and I've heard a lot of horror stories. And like I say, their rates usually aren't there, so that's why I haven't really hauled with them. So, but I appreciate your time and your information, and I'll let you get on with the show and help somebody else. But thank you so much.
Well, thank you. And you know what? Give us a call one day and let us know how you made out with this. I'd be curious.
Yeah, well, I mean, if they do the right thing, I'd definitely like to say something good about them. Cause,
yeah, if this comes through, you know what? I guess because they're big and they're fairly new, they've taken a lot of hits. And if they did what they said they're going to do, then I think you owe it to them, and I think this show owes it to them to have you call in and say, you know what, that thing loaded at, you know, at 6 o'clock or 8 o'clock on Friday night, and I was home for the weekend, delivered Tuesday, and everything went the way it should. I think that's the right thing to do.
Absolutely. Well, maybe you'll hear from me next Monday and or Tuesday, and have a good 4th of July in the meantime.
Okay, thanks. See you. Same to you, man, and be careful out there.
All right, thanks a lot.
Yes, sir. Appreciate the call, Chris. Appreciate you put you back on hold there. And we got another call that's got a question. We're going to be coming to you in just a second there, Luke. If you have a question, you can press the number one. Chuck, I had a series of questions that I wanted to ask you myself, some different things that I had kind of written down in preparation for the show. But don't want to take away from the callers because we definitely love the interaction and we love the caller participation. So we're going to go and bring Luke up on board with us. Luke, you're on live with Rico and Chuck. How can we help?
Hey, Rico and Chuck. Thanks for taking my call here. Hey,
thanks.
I can't hear that.
Can you speak up? Can you speak it? Adjust your microphone, Luke. We can barely hear you. I'm going to have to put them on hold for just a second. Luke, hopefully, maybe you can hear us. Maybe you can hear us. Maybe you can adjust your microphone a little bit there, Luke, because we can barely hear you. It's really coming through really thin. Let's see if we can fix that connection. Nope.
No, this is painful.
No, can't hear a thing. I'm gonna have to see if we can. Let's see if we can get Luke to see if we can fix that connection. See if we can put him back on hold here for just a second. Okay. Well, I guess that'll give us an opportunity. We'll see if we can get that connection fixed with Luke, and that gives me an opportunity to kind of go into some of these questions that I have for you. Chuck, you kind of went into a little bit of it earlier, but as a small business, And most of the guys that we have here are small businesses, either have a very small fleet or one-man army, looking to grow their business. How important is, to successfully grow your business, how important is a skill like delegation? And how do you kind of master that skill or learn when to when you should start delegating different matters when it comes to your business?
You delegate the things that you're not good at, and delegate the things that aren't important. Those are the two things you start with delegating. There's an expression, majoring in minor things, and humans have this uncanny ability to concentrate on the things that they like doing and that they're good at, not necessarily the things that are going to make them successful. So you'll have somebody that has got, they got a great set of hands on them. They're a great mechanic, and they're always working on their truck. And they're working on the truck when the truck doesn't even need to be worked on. But all they're doing is they're practicing their mechanical skills. How is that going to build their trucking business when they should be out contacting potential customers, even contacting potential brokers? But they're not. And that's a prime example of, if your truck is broken and you're not a great mechanic, you should probably give it over to a service shop, let them do it, pay them their $100 an hour, but you take that hour and you make some phone calls, you make some connections, and that will pay for the mechanic you just paid $100 to. And those are the things in the simplest form. That's how you delegate. You want to delegate those things that aren't going to make you as much money. Do what you do best.
You're knocking the cover off the ball, Chuck, because I'm telling you, you're going right. You're kind of setting these questions right up for me almost. I'm going to take a detour. Also, I know that you, family man, did you, when you went into this business, was your wife involved any at all with you? Kind of, I'm asking this question from the aspect of, like I said, you got smaller guys, and being in business with your spouse, just trying to figure out, is there any advice that you can give on that front? Because sometimes, it can be a real balancing act.
Oh,
so
let me tell you.
To see if there's
my wife has been my business partner for, almost 40 years. And I'll be very honest with you and all our listeners, it's much easier for us to leave home at home than it is to leave the office at the office. Sometimes I'll get home first.
I know exactly what that means.
My wife and I can have our disagreements at home, but when we come to the office, we're there. We're professionals. We're there to work. Whatever happened at home stays at home. If we have a blowout at the office, which hardly ever happens, but if she doesn't like something I've done or something somebody else has done, I could just be like not have anything to do with this. When my wife gets home from the office, I'm going to hear about it and I'm going to suffer the pain of what some other person has done wrong during that day. And I guess sometimes I can be a little bit that way myself, where if I've had a rough day, you bring it home. And that's the hardest part. But you have to remember, if you're in business with your spouse, he or she, that's your business partner, just not just your life partner. It's your business partner. You need to respect them. You need to listen. I think a lot of us men have that issue. We're not good listeners.
Oh, come on.
Oh, sorry, Rico. Everybody but you.
No, sir. I'm not gonna fall into that one. But I know that, you're preaching to the choir. So hopefully people are taking this under advisement, and maybe we should have had this part recorded. I hate that this not being recorded, but
maybe we don't want it recorded. My wife will hear it and she'll say, "When did you learn this? I've been telling you this for 38 years." So, but it's really important. You know what? You just need to respect your business partner, and even though your business partner is your life partner, your wife, you still need to show them that respect in both areas, as your wife and as your business partner.
Good stuff. Now, like I said, we're really trying to dedicate this podcast to and cater it to the listener. We want to try to help do things that can help grow their profits and grow them individually as business owners. And how important, you kind of talked about a little bit about it, but, you know, this is what I was saying, you were kind of teeing up my questions for me. How important is strategy, you know, and when it comes to managing and trying to grow a small business, what does, you know, when you're looking at the strategy, I'm kind of going to the stratosphere of what does the playing field look like? You know, most people don't understand really the arena that they're entering into. Is there any advice that you can give us to as far as, you know, because our industry, the transportation industry, we talked about the spot market, we talk about contract rates, so on and so forth. But when you're strategizing and our industry changes so quickly, how important is it for us to understand what the playing field looks like?
There's always going to be, I think, one of the challenges that small carriers have is I think that they're always looking, or we are always looking, at the grass in the other field, and we're always seeing it as greener. So what happens is all of a sudden, you know, you're doing your the beginning of your show, and you're talking about how much rates are out of certain areas. So that's where people, small carriers, I think, and I've said this on the show, I've said it at I said it in Council Bluffs when I was lecturing, and I said it in a lot of meetings. You really need to have a business plan, and you need to have a lane. You can't be running roughshod wherever the freight takes you. Those days are not going to work in future. Equipment's getting too expensive. You can't, you just can't take the chance. If you want to be successful, you do have to have strategy. You have to have a lane. You have to have a business. You know, people go to McDonald's because they want a hamburger or whatever their favorite is. Maybe it's a fillet of fish sandwich or chicken McNuggets or whatever. They go there for that reason. And that's why they go. They don't go to McDonald's because they want a shrimp cocktail. And they won't go to McDonald's if they didn't know what they were going to get. If one day it's shrimp cocktail and the next day it was pork chops and the next day it was chicken souvlaki, nobody would go there. People need a destination. People need to know who the go-to guy is for different things. We can't. There's nobody that's listening to this show other than maybe a few people that have really different equipment, like, you know, specialized RGNs or something like that, that can pull this off. But as for the rest of us, whether they're hauling dry vans or reefers or regular steps or flats, the vast majority of the people listening need to have a lane. And that will, when you have a lane and you say, you know, I go from Charlotte to Miami, or I go from Charlotte to Atlanta, or wherever your lane
well,
is,
Chuck,
just do it.
Well, Chuck.
That's your strategy. Yes, Rick.
Question. Really, really quick question.
Yeah.
Because a couple of people have asked me some questions about our theory on this dumbbell thing and stuff like that. And so I kind of adjusted a little bit. And I asked the person, I said, well, if you're starting out, do you have any customers in your home-based area? And 9 times out of 10, most of the people are going to tell me no. So I said, well, instead of thinking about a dumbbell, How about we go in, when we start our marketing process, instead of you saying, well, this is my service area, let's try and find a customer in your backyard and go to them. Kevin talks about this a good bit on his show. Go to them with the thing in mind of, hey, I'm here to solve a problem. What is the lane that is kicking your butt right now? Give me what's the worst lane that you got going on. Let me try to help you find a solution for this terrible lane or wherever you're having problems at. And see if you can't become a solution maker for that terrible lane. You don't have any customers, period, in your backyard right now. See if you can see what it is that you can do to win that customer and get that lane, and then whatever that lane, whatever the delivery point is on that end, try and cultivate that market for your market area so that you can have consistency on going back and forth in that particular lane to service your customer in your home base market, and by default it puts you in an automatic service position for the market that you're going to. Any thoughts on that?
Yeah, it only works. It works. The theory works, but you can get into big trouble. The first problem I can see with it, trying to be the devil's advocate, is if you're based in Charlotte and you go into a paper company, the Charlotte Paper Company, and you say to the person, listen, what's your worst lane? And he says, you know what? I have rolls of paper. I need to get them into Redding, California. Nobody wants to do that. And you say, oh, I'll do your Redding, California. Well, you got to be real careful. Number one, now all of a sudden you're probably traveling 2,600 miles or something. Maybe further, but some, I'm just going to say
right.
2,600 miles. What are you going to do for a backhaul out of Redding, California? It's in the middle of nowhere. And so you have a one-way haul across the country. How are you going to build a business? Because it means you're out for, you're going to be out for a better part of 10 days anyways. It's just so hard to scale that. And if you're going to do that, be careful that you know your prices of where you're going. And I got to warn everybody out there, you need to get paid for accordingly to where you're going, to what the freight coming back is like. And also other expenses like tolls and congestion, things like that. You know, if somebody has a load for you going into places like Rawlins, Wyoming, Cheyenne, Wyoming, even Denver, Colorado, those are tough, tough places to get backhauls from. You know, if somebody wants me to haul to Denver, they've got to pay me to go 500 miles empty to go get a load back. And those are the mistakes you make at the beginning when you get into this. So if you're going to do it, just be careful that wherever you're going, you can get back from. Because there's no sense.
And I think that the reason I brought that up and the reason I was saying it from that standpoint, I understand exactly where you're coming from. You definitely don't want to be doing a cross-country trek if that's their problem area. But for the most part, I think that most of the people that we're, especially for our audience, I think that we're going to be talking to smaller shippers, not necessarily knocking on the doors of Fortune 500 companies. And I think that a good bit of your smaller shippers are going to be shipping on a more regional basis than cross-country. I understand that they may have some clientele across the country, but for the most part, a lot of their stuff is going to be more regional based on from my experiences. And that's why I was saying, instead of trying to target a area, if you don't have any customers anywhere, let's try to get somebody, start out where you are, start where you live, and get a customer right there in your backyard initially, and then you can try to set something up to begin to grow with your company. And just to throw some ideas out there, I don't know. Maybe I'm getting a little bit ahead of myself on that front.
I think it's a great idea, Rico. I think it works as long as you're disciplined and the tools are out there today to find out. So if somebody says to you, and if you happen to be in Charlotte, North Carolina, and you make one of those sales calls and the customer says, well, you know what, I'm having a real tough time moving my loads into Philadelphia. Well, you know that you're going into a congested area. You know the tolls are bad. You know that the loads out of there aren't great paying. So go in there with your eyes wide open. Say, yeah, I can help you with those. And that would be a great opportunity for somebody, because there's lots of people out there that don't want to go to Philadelphia, and you'll get paid real well for it. And keep in mind that the load out of Philadelphia is probably going to pay you $1 a mile. But build that into your rate, and there's your business.
Right.
And that's where you can start a strategy.
And back to the point on strategies, as a smaller carrier, what are some things that that you may know of or heard of that may be coming that is going to affect all of the industry? What are some of the things that we may not necessarily, you know, trying to get people to start thinking outside of the box? Especially one of the things that when I talked to you earlier this week, it was something that I told you I had stuff written down. One of the things that I kind of that I'm seriously concerned about. I'm seriously concerned about this whole autonomous trucking situation. I think that I kind of, from a lot of stuff that I've been reading, I think that it's a hell of a lot closer than what a lot of people believe it is. I think, you know, worst case scenario, we may be about 15 years out. Best case scenario, maybe 20, but I think somewhere between that 10 to 50, between that 15 and 20 year mark, I think we're going to start seeing those babies rolling out. And that's kind of really got me a little bit concerned as far as if you're using this transportation industry as your lifeblood and your livelihood, what's kind of going to be the next move? Is if I'm trying to grow my company and my business, how do I offset that whole coming wave of the autonomous trucks?
Well, first of all, there's going to be autonomous trucks. That's as sure as there's going to be winter in January, they are coming. Now, it may be 5 years away, and we may see it in 5 years on Interstate 80 between, let's say, Iowa and Wyoming, or, you know, or Salt Lake City or something. And we probably will, because the technology is coming our way. I can't imagine in a million years autonomous trucks doing 3 and 4 deliveries in major cities, or even, you know, in the industrial heartlands of those cities. It's just, I can't see it. I would be shocked. I think on a line haul basis, yes. And I think that, you know, and I've preached, you know, on this show 100 times, you know, the long haul, line haul business, I think our days are numbered anyways. Just because of how things are, you know, with the rail and everything else, the rail's getting better at doing a lot of things. And I think money is cheap, and I think you're going to see people holding inventory again. I have never been a believer in just-in-time, although I've made a lot of money at it. I think the concept works very well in Japan. I do not think it works very well in North America. And I've seen executives waste probably billions of dollars trying to make something work that doesn't work. So I think all of a sudden you'll probably start seeing inventory levels go up a little bit, where they will be able to use the rail. And none of us can really compete with the rail. We need to learn to work with the rail. And I think even with these autonomous trucks, those trucks are going to serve line haul. They're still going to need our trucks and our capabilities to deliver those trailers to wherever they're going. Those trucks will be on the interstates, but there's no way they're going to be wheeling through the industrial heartlands of any of our cities. I just cannot imagine it. So
and
I think
I
that's
our
future.
I wanted to try to have people, you know, especially us smaller guys and people that are I want us to kind of adjust our thinking along the lines of really on a business mindset, and always kind of not necessarily waiting on the shoe to drop, but just be thinking more strategically in our thought patterns when it comes to our businesses. Because, you know, perfect example, prime example would be, you know, did Hertz Enterprise or any of the rental car companies, you know, did they anticipate and see the effect that Uber is having on their business? Did they, you know, is that something that they, you know, seen coming down the turnpike? And that's something that, you know, as a business owner, you have to, it's your responsibility to always be thinking and looking to see what's the next thing, what's coming over the horizon. And that's,
you're right,
that's kind of where I was going with my line of questioning with that.
You're right. You're right on the money. And Uber, I can tell you, their vision is that neither you or me or any of our listeners out there are going to own a car. And what's going to happen is wherever you're going, an Uber car will come, pick you up, and take you there. And when that, you know, and when you get out of the car, the next person gets in it. And it makes a lot of sense for cars, especially in metropolitan areas. I don't know what we would do. I live out in the country, so I don't know if Uber's going to come and pick me up at my farm laneway. However, with big trucks, if we're going to buck a trend, it's either going to be to work with the carriers that are going to have the driverless trucks and deliver those loads for them and pick up those loads and take them to, yards that are off the interstate. In the same way that many years ago there was always a war between the truckers and the rail, and then they figured out how to work together. And now you have companies like Schneider and Hunt that do a heck of a lot more on the rail than they do on the road. They've embraced it. So is Swift. All these big carriers have. And we need to embrace it too. Change is not going to stop for Rico, Chuck, and all our friends. If change is going to happen.
Absolutely.
So we need to figure out the things that these autonomous trucks cannot do. They're going to have a hell of a time doing LTL. And when I say LTL, I always talk about LTL, but I'm talking about partial loads. I can't see them doing flatbed work. That's going to be, now they'll be able to do it all day long on a straight line haul. But how the heck is a driverless truck going to go to a construction site and unload pieces of steel, of I-beam, or
right,
machinery?
Right. And one of the things, speaking of about the rail, those guys are having a conference coming up in Houston. I've seen it somewhere. Man, I tell you what, ladies and gentlemen, if you're interested in that stuff, I'll see if I can't track down where they're going to be having it. I know it's going to be in the city of Houston, but I'll see if I can post that up.
Rico, I actually attended that one 2 years ago. We were doing, at the time, we were doing some work with a client that was using intermodal, and I got interested in it, and we were participating in an intermodal move, and I went down there, and the seminars were fascinating. And, you know, if you want to learn stuff, that's where you go. And you can also meet people. And this is a great, this dovetails into something. This is a great opportunity for all the smaller carriers to meet people where you could do business with them, because you've got all
right,
these rail people and rail agents and people like that that need guys like our listeners that can pick up a pick up a container at the docks in Mobile and take it 200 miles away, or at the docks in Savannah.
Absolutely.
Or the docks in wherever, in Philadelphia, and move it up the road 200 or 300 miles. That's not going by rail, and that's where the opportunity is. There's nothing sexy about it, but it pays okay, and you're going to get paid.
Right, and that's one of the things, you know, that's why when I talk about these different conferences and things that I try to mention, I try to make people aware of, is not because it gives you an opportunity to actually, like you said, you get a chance to go meet your customer. You get out of the blind spot. you know, we're truckers. We're always talking, you know, when we're driving the truck and everything, we're talking about a blind spot and everything. But if you're not putting yourself in front of and positioning yourself to be seen by your potential customers, then you're always going to be in the blind spot, and you're never going to be able to gain any type of garner any kind of support or business with those people because they don't even know you exist.
Right.
You know, we was talking about strategy. Do you even have, is your company even listed in the yellow pages under your company name? You know, those just minor things like that. Do you have a website? You know,
If you're starting out and you're going to invest money, invest it in a half-decent website. And make sure it doesn't look canned. When I look at somebody's website and I see pictures of European cab overs, I go, like, didn't you care enough to even take a picture of your own truck or even a truck that looks like yours? Why is there pictures, whether it's a broker or a carrier, and he's got these European cab overs that are single axle with a tri-axle trailer on the back that's usually a reefer with curtain sides on it because that's the sort of stuff they run over there. And you know right away it's something fishy. Go buy, you know, there's all sorts of talent around. Talent is cheap for web designing. There's all sorts of schools and young people that are so capable, and they just want a chance. And give them that chance and put a video on it. You know, take, and everybody out there, take a look at mine. We're going to have to change it eventually. It's fairly new, www.traffix.com. And just take a look at what we did. It's not that expensive, and it drives traffic. We get business.
Well, Chuck, we get carried away sometimes, and I hadn't even looked at the clock. We're actually over the hour, so
oh boy.
Is there anything in wrapping up? We don't have any questions in the queue. So, well, wait a minute. Yes, we do. I almost missed somebody. Mark, we'll get you in just a second, but before we get ready to close out, Chuck, is there anything that you want to say? How can people get in contact with you? Anything you want to say closing out, and then we'll get to Mark's question.
Okay, closing out, I want to thank everybody for supporting our show, and I want to thank the industry for giving me a great run. This has been fantastic, and I want everybody out there to be safe. It's July 4th weekend. There's an awful lot of idiots on the road, most of them driving four-wheelers, and they don't know what they're doing, so just remember that. And if you need to get in touch with me, I will answer all questions. You can email me at chuck@traffix, that's traffix.com, or you can call me at 800-388-4352. My extension is 203. You need to punch that in, or you may go through voicemail hell, unfortunately, but we get thousands of calls a day, so we'd have to have probably 50 receptionists, so we do have extensions, and mine is 203. If you call me or you email me, I promise I'll get back to you. I get back to everybody. And that's about it, Rico, and wrapping up. This has been a great hour. It's flown by.
Well, we got one more before we close out. Let's grab Mark real quick. Mark, you're up live and on board with Rico and Chuck. How can we help?
Hey, John, I'm going to keep it real quick then. I was thinking about new things, and this is a topic for another show, alternative fuels like compressed natural gas, LNG, and that new one that's coming out by, I think it's Nikola Tesla, if I'm not mistaken, the all-electric one.
Mm-hmm.
There's some other big changes coming down the pike there, too.
Well, until freight rates go
okay.
up, I don't see how anybody's going to afford that stuff, but that is good for another show.
Okay. I'll keep it in mind, and I'll tune in again next time.
Thanks for calling.
All right, we appreciate the call, Mark. Yeah, that's one thing that we have a litany of shows here on the Audio Road. We have, of course, Kevin Rutherford, and that's kind of more of his scope of area. Kevin Rutherford deals with all things to mechanical and also things that are going to help you save money to reduce your cost and everything like that. We have Kenny Long's show Trucking with Authority that talks about getting your authority and how to run your carry and everything. Here on Rates and Lanes, we deal with the rates and lanes, but we try to stick more along the lines of business. And like I said, Kevin kind of covers the gamut on most of it, but we try to do things and talk about things that are going to try to help increase your bottom line, increase your profit. We're not so much into the that's not our area of expertise. So we kind of leave that for those people that's what they do, and we talk about the things that we're more familiar with and the things that we are more comfortable with. So, yeah, that's definitely a Kevin Rutherford-type question right there. And also, I mentioned Kevin Rutherford and Kenny's podcast, but we also have Kim that has her podcast, Destination Health, and as well as Mike Beckett's show that comes on Sunday evenings, Rolling Toe. That's everything that's dealing with tires and alignment issues that you may have with your truck. And with that said, ladies and gentlemen, I want to thank everyone for taking time out of their busy schedule for coming on and listening and participating here with us. I want to thank our special and esteemed guest and our resident mentor, Chuck Snow, for taking time out of his busy schedule for coming on and being with us. And I don't do it nowhere near enough. Want to thank my lovely daughter for taking time out of her schedule and participating, doing our call screening for us. Miss Fatina back home in Atlanta, Georgia, she's our call screener. Appreciate her doing a wonderful job as usual. And Kevin and Lisa Rutherford, the entire Less Truck team that helps make this podcast, brings this podcast to you and makes this show possible. Want to thank all of them for all of their efforts and participation. This has been the Rates and Lanes podcast with Rico Muhammad. We're signing off live out of Jacksonville, Florida. Chuck, we appreciate you again, my friend. We'll talk with you later. Good night, everybody. Be safe out there over the holiday weekend and keep it in between the mustard and the mayonnaise.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Take it easy.